I have C. Ashley Caldwell setting up at the moment. We're going to interview her in just a minute, and she's going to play some live tunes for us. This is a track from her forthcoming album. Hope you enjoy it. This is what she sounds like.
One, two, three, four. Gummy bear, and we got no place to go. We're living without fear. Ooh, 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 ooh. You wear sparkles on your smile. I think I'll sit and draw with you a while, 'cause we got no place to be, and I'm so happy that you're here with me.
Bye-bye.
That is a brilliant way to end a song.
Thank you.
You can't take yourself too seriously.
Well, no, I don't recommend it.
Wait, let me rephrase that. I certainly do not take myself too seriously.
So we're live with C. Ashley Caldwell on Is Good on killradio.org. Welcome.
Thank you. So you just said before you introduced that track, when you introduced the track, you're like, this is what she sounds like. But that's what I sound like at like 7 o'clock in the evening.
Oh, I see.
And this is what I sound like at 11 o'clock in the morning.
So oh, yeah.
We'll see.
Well, that's good.
We'll see how close to reality that is.
So what is folk? What does folk mean?
Folk music. I don't know. Actually, someone recently told me that my music was triple A. So am I lying to people by telling them folk? What do you think? Do you know triple A? Adult alternative. I don't know what the third A stands for. Do you?
No, I'm just thinking about the people that come and tell
you.
Oh,
I know what it stands for. No, it stands for, I know, right? It stands for adult alternative awesome.
Oh, I see. Sounds dirty to me.
It does? That's awesome. Oh, that's cool. That's awesome. Yeah, so folk music, you know, I guess I think of, when I think of folk music, I mean, naturally my mind goes to like Joni Mitchell and, you know, Simon and Garfunkel, because that was the original folk music that I was listening to. And I know that if you say folk music, I think that that's kind of true folk music. It's lyrically driven, melodically driven. It tells a story. It's grassroots. I don't know. It's down home. It's sitting on the porch. It's like drinking lemonade. It's sharing with your family. It's like telling a story of someone's experience. It's sharing a piece of the pie is folk music, I think.
Did you grow up listening to folk?
No, I didn't. I actually didn't grow up listening to much music. My parents didn't really listen to a lot of music, which is surprising, I think. Now, I mean, it surprises me because I listen to music so often, but my dad really liked Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings. We didn't listen to it a lot, but I know they really, really liked. That's what my dad really, really liked. I did listen to my first concert ever was the Osmonds with Donny and Marie Osmond. And it was like a surprise from my parents when I was like five or something. But my sister and I had the little microphones and we'd sing like the duets and I was Marie.
And did you know then that you were going to get involved musically? Was it Osmonds?
I was like, oh, that's what I'm going to do. No, but I didn't hear actually Joni Mitchell until I was in college, which is so weird because I started playing guitar when I was like 8 years old and I played with, I played at camp with the counselors, and it wasn't really cool. When you're, like, in third grade, playing guitar isn't cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I played Puff the Magic Dragon a lot, like, because that was my favorite song at the time, and I definitely know that people didn't think that was cool.
I played French horn. I mean, there's no way to cool that
up. Yeah, there isn't. It's the same kind of thing. Like, but somewhere in high school, like, it goes from playing guitar and singing goes from being really dorky to being really cool, though.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Like, I mean, maybe not French horn. That's probably still dorky till you're like in your 30s.
Well, I did a hardcore punk version of the French horn.
Oh, well, so that's a whole different story. Yeah. Sure, that's a whole different story.
So, just you have a MySpace page. Is that your main website?
No, my main website. And for all those of you who can't spell my name and won't spell it right, I got a new domain that routes to my website.
Nice.
HelloFromHollywood.com. It's great, isn't it?
Wow, that wasn't taken.
Can you believe that wasn't taken?
Amazing.
I did Greetings from Hollywood was already taken and all these different ones, but Hello from Hollywood wasn't taken.
I should do Broken Hollywood. That should be my website.
Can you stream that through my website too? Like every single artist.
Yeah. I've been meaning to ask you this since we met. Why the sea? And I mean, obviously, even how did you come up with a name with a?
Well, I didn't actually. My parents did that. They,
really?
Yeah, that's my name. That's my actual name. I stopped going by my first name when I was, when I started giving false names when I was really young, like seven or six or something, like because I never really liked my first name, and so I started telling people my name was Kimberly and like all these names that I thought were cooler, and then I went to camp one summer, and. Instead of telling, it was the first year that I went to camp, and I thought, you know, nobody here knows who I am. If I tell everybody that my name, like that, if I go by my middle name, which is Ashley, spelled L-E-I-G-H, my mom did that. Thank you, Mom. It's really pretty, I think. But if I thought, well, if I tell people I go by my middle name, they won't know the difference. So I told them my name was Ashley, and the whole summer I was Ashley, and it felt really, really good. It resonated with me. And then when my parents came to pick me up, everybody was confused, but we all got over it. And then the next year at school, I just raised my hand and I said, I go by my middle name. You know, but my dad actually picked my first name. And so out of respect for him, I kept the C. I never thought I was going to be it's going to be so cool. I'm going to have an initial and I'm going to be like C. Thomas Howell or like, you know what I mean? Like try to be some like cool
person.
Wow,
that is cool.
It just happened naturally. I kept the C because my dad had named me my first name. And Ashley is this Ashley Caldwell is the whole that's my real live name.
Well, cool. Well, we'll talk about your CDs and your live performances and all that stuff in a little bit. But in the meantime, why don't you entertain me with another song?
Cool,
and all
awesome.
Of us.
I would love to.
You're listening to C. Ashley Caldwell on Is Good with John Hirschfield on killradio.org.
I really want to entertain you with another song.
I'm going to give your guitar my microphone because I think the one that's hooked up to it at the moment is not good.
Oh, okay.
So
we're going to do that for a minute?
Yeah, well, I'm just going to actually just put it here.
So I'll tell you a little bit about this song. The song is called Judah, and it has surprising subject matter, controversial, shocking subject matter, but we'll talk about that after the song because you won't know it. Ready? When I'm feeling down, you lift me up out on the town. You always fill my cup. I've been riding all your sweet, sweet highs and drowning on the way down. And I'm trying so hard to shake you, laying low, trying to break through. I occupy my time, but I'm crying on the inside, 'cause I'm thinking about you, Judah, when I am blue. Judah, you always come through. I'm thinking about you, just thinking about you. Common logic tells me you're bad news. All my friends have cut me loose, and my mama's been praying ever every night, Lord, bring my baby back home. But I'm thinking about you, Judah, when I am blue. Judah, nothing to do. I'm thinking about you, just thinking about it. You, oh, I got my head in the clouds, my spirit's on the line. Why don't you come on over and show me a good time? 'Cause I'm thinking about you, Judah, deja vu, Judah. There's nothing you can say, 'cause there ain't nothing I can do. I'm thinking about you, I'm thinking about you, I'm thinking about you, still thinking about you. Yeah, that mic isn't so good, huh? John is currently changing microphones. He's using...
We're back.
Good times.
Welcome to killradio.org. So not for profit. We actually just give money away.
We just threw a dollar out the window just to see what would happen.
Board is actually made MacGyver style out of toothpicks and dental floss.
If you could see it, if you could only see it.
Your drummer actually just called to say, bring up the guitar.
Oh, did he really? That is
yeah,
so funny.
And that you're doing an incredible job. That
oh,
you
right.
sound awesome.
Of course,
so.
Thank you. I appreciate
excellent.
That.
Excellent. Excellent. So I met you at this little traveling house party called Unlit,
yeah.
where you know a mutual friend of ours would basically invite musical friends of his to come play. Mm-hmm. How does somebody see your music and remember you? Where do you play?
Well, I usually play like at Genghis Cohen. That's kind of my regular spot. And, you know, like small, I think acoustic houses, like kind of more acoustic. I've played at some of the bigger houses, but when I don't play with a band, it's just kind of, you know. I'm not really sure. That's a good question, because I recently went to this big music seminar, and that's when I asked someone, you know, what would you call my music? Because it's a little quirky. It's kind of like quirky folk, you know.
Did they say AAA?
They said AAA. And I was like, what's that? And they're like, oh, you know, adult alternative, you know, I don't know what he didn't know what the third one was either, so.
Audio.
It's a real popular genre. No, I think that's what like Ben Harper and Jack Johnson are considered.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that with this new release that I can kind of do the folk festival circuit. I think that would be I think my stuff is well received by like the kind of grassroots community, mm-hmm. the folk community, you know.
So this is, you already have one CD that's been released.
I have two actually.
Oh, you have two.
This is my third.
This
yeah.
is your third. So mm-hmm, tell me about your experience releasing two full-length albums of
Ashley
Caldwell.
I actually studied theater in college, and I never intended to really have CDs and be a musician, but I just started writing an enormous amount of music when I moved to LA. Like, and my first CD is actually called Moving to Hollywood. And I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have any experience really playing out or any of that. I just wrote some songs. I sat down with a microphone. I played them. I had some people play on the record after that, and it's really, really, like, raw. I think I had a cold that day, so like my voice was a little off, but I mean, I just did it. I was just like, you know what? I'm just gonna throw these songs down, I'm gonna print it and call it a record. And then I was like, wow, it would be so much better if I like tracked it and did all that, you know. So then for the second one, I kind of did it in tracking, but I didn't know what a producer hears or what like, and I learned what a producer hears in that experience. And I took that into this new record, which is like I'm co-producing with someone, but I'm really in it. Like, I know what I want it to sound like. I hear the tracking part of it, you know, like the part that as a live musician, you don't really.
Did that change the way you wrote the music from the
Yeah,
from the
it
start?
Did. Yeah. And I don't take a song into the studio to record it until I feel that it's ready and that I have the tracks ready. Like, mm-hmm. I know what I want from it. Some of this stuff happens organically, like backup vocals always happen organically. I never know what I want backup vocals to be. And then I just like start hitting wrong notes until I hit a good one. And then we pick that one and it's like, oh, that was that one good note.
When you play with a band, how is that experience different from?
I love it. I absolutely love playing with a band. It's just expensive. expensive, you know. I mean, when you're you pay, you know, you have to pay players. Unless you have like a band that's writing together and promoting as a band, as an independent singer-songwriter, you know, you pay players if you want really professional quality. So every time you play a show, you know, you're spending $200 or $300 paying professionals, and it just gets, you know, it's kind of hard to do that when you're like starting out. But I do like, I prefer to play with some other people. I really do. And if anyone listening knows people who would like to be a part of a grassroots music project, just let me know. You know, we'll get together and jam. Yeah, and see
no,
what it
no
sounds
theremin
like.
Players. I can't see it fitting in.
Yeah, yeah, maybe not. So
although
much.
You do, I know you do things with alternative instruments.
Yes,
do you
want
to talk about that a little bit?
Well, I started picking up little instruments actually 1 year at the Renaissance Festival, and I got a couple of little like plucked handheld, you know, instruments, and I actually wrote a song for one of my friends' weddings on one of these instruments, and I just kind of started liking the way different things sounded, and I play a little piano, but I'm really no good at it, so I kind of wanted to have some alternate thing. So I think what you're referring to maybe is the coconut, but this is the coconut that well, I have a coconut here with me in the studio. You can't see it, but if you could, this is the coconut. And I actually bought the coconut from this Rastafarian in Florida on this pier when I went there one year. And he made it out of a, it's a little hand piano made out of a coconut. So, but it sounds like this. It's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
so
nice.
I mean, you know, when I whip this out, people are like, what's that? And it's kind of different and unique. But I didn't do it because I thought it was cool. I just thought it was neat sounding, and I thought it would be neat if I played, a, you know, if I wrote a song on it. Uh-huh. So. I just like the way it sounds.
Awesome. Well, you want to go into another song for us?
Sure. We'll save the coconut song for later.
Okay. I'll pass you off my mic again. Sorry for the technical difficulties, but it's all part of the fun.
It is.
You're listening to See Ashley Caldwell on Is Good with John Hirschfield on killradio.org. If you want to instant message her, you can do so. Our handle is killradiostation, one word, killradiostation.
Yeah, maybe we can take questions. I'm just kidding. That's kind of funny. Okay.
I'd rather you tell me the truth. I walk away from me. In this fairy tale, the air is too thick to breathe, and I feel like I'm gonna sink. And I'd rather let go than hold on. I'd rather laugh than cry. I'd rather hit send 1,000 times than wait for one reply. If you're scared, so am I. So am I. So am I. I'd rather you tell me her name than hear it from a friend in this virtual game. No one's gonna win, and I'll be the first one to die. And I'd rather forgive than hold on. I'd rather laugh than cry. I'd rather just sleep alone than wake up with a lie. So if you're ready, so am I.
Nice.
Thank you.
Very nice. Can I call you C. Ashley Caldwell?
Totally. You do anyways, you told me.
I don't know. I can't call you Ashley. I know you as C. Ashley Caldwell.
John and I saw each other at Unlit one night, and he's like, he was with his girlfriend Shannon, and she, who's lovely as well. And he said, he and Shannon were laughing, and he goes, "It's funny because even when I refer to you when you're not around, like we're at home, and I like say, oh, have you heard from C. Ashley Caldwell recently or whatever?" I think it's cute that you say my full name all the time. That's cute.
Well, let's drill it into their heads.
I wish if I were my own band, and then people would refer to me as a band. Ah, I just saw the John Hirschfield. You know,
oh, yeah, yeah. That would be awesome. Cool. Yeah, that would totally be cool. So people should say the in front of my name.
Yeah.
I just saw the C. Ashley Caldwell.
The C. Ashley Caldwell band. Or without it. I like it. I like the sound.
Yeah, it sounds cool, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your MySpace page has like 3,500 friends.
It's pretty rad,
right? Do you know every one of them personally?
You know what? Every single one. Yeah. I'm so good. No, I don't. But you know what? I reached out a little to the communities where I've lived, like to people in Ohio. You know, I kind of sent some people some stuff saying, "Hey, check out my page."
And you're originally from Houston,
well, I'm from
right?
Texas, yeah, but I went to college in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. So kind of reached out to some folks in Texas just to see, you know, if I maybe had a fan base there. So because I go home to Texas all the time. It's like, you know, see if when I play out there, I can actually have some people come see.
Sure.
And then just people have started kind of sending their friends to my page, and then, you know, word of mouth. But yeah, it's wonderful. I love MySpace. I mean, I don't know how to get, I wouldn't otherwise know how to get people from those cities unless you just tour endlessly. And it's just, it's like, it's a catch-22 because you have to tour in order for people to know who you are.
Right.
But if you tour, if nobody knows who you are, nobody comes.
Then it's just a lot of traveling. It's just,
yeah. Then you're just like running around the world.
Have you started
endlessly.
To do that?
Not
tour
yet.
A little bit?
No, I'm working pretty steadily in the studio right now, trying to get this new CD pressed, because I really don't want to tour without these new songs. Mm-hmm. I really feel that these new songs really represent very clearly what I'm doing, the kind of music that I like. I can stand behind the music that I'm producing right now. So, you know, so I'm kind of waiting. But as soon as that's done, yeah, probably like sometime next year, I'll probably.
And I'm wondering, is there, and I ask this of everyone, but is there like sort of an overlying idea behind your music? Is it just about storytelling in general, or is there a specific goal in mind?
Lately the goal is kind of song per song, trying to really be true to the idea that is in the song, or like the story behind the song, and choosing words carefully, because like you know you only have that little 2 or 3 or 4 minutes to like convey that thing that happened. Mm-hmm. So recently I've been really writing, actually if you listen to my, like the song that I'm going to play next, if you listen to it on my MySpace page, it's slightly different because I've already reworked it, like I've mm-hmm. already reworked the chorus because I thought I could do better, you know, like I put it on there to see what people would think, but I'm always kind of reworking these songs. But my right now, my life is it has taken kind of a real spiritual, I wouldn't say a turn, because I've always had some spiritual grounding, but I've really been diving into being in touch with myself on a spiritual level and sort of reaching out to the world in that way, like putting my real self forward without fear, I think is the goal. And so I hope that would come across in the music. I don't sit down and go, I'm so spiritual, I'm going to write a song and reach out to people with my spirituality. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but yeah. Like, no, it's funny. I just found atheism myself.
Did you? Awesome.
No, I'm kidding.
No, no, everyone's welcome. Unless you slaughter goats, but no. And then you have to bless them. No, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't sit down and go, oh, yeah, I'm going to write these songs that are going to really touch people spiritually. But I hope that because I hope that because that's the journey that my life is taking, that would come across mm-hmm. naturally in my music. I hope that, and I do, I get comments on my MySpace page. I think people are getting it because people say, oh, it's very positive, or it's happy, mm-hmm. or, you know, people respond to it. Sometimes think it's almost like children's music, you know, which, like I said, I'm not trying to be taken too seriously. So that's a huge compliment to me. I mean, children are the purest form of themselves, of love and of great energy. I mean, if you're around a group of children that you aren't trying to like lecture or control, it's just a beautiful thing to watch. Mm-hmm. They're like having fun and they're enjoying their life and they're kind of uninhibited. And if that's what people get from my music, then God bless, you know, that. That's
well,
great.
I can picture like 40 years from now, you know, you have like 15 albums as the best of, and then C. Ashley Caldwell loses her mind and releases a children's album and a book.
Yeah, totally. No, that's probably not like that long away, actually. I've already been thinking, how can I write a book for children? Like,
it'd just be you and the coconut, too. You'd be away with the guitar.
I'll be on the street with like little children sitting around me, like something. Oh, man. Thanks for the encouragement.
That's why I came here, to get uplifted this morning.
When you write, does it start with the lyrics, or does it start with a tune in your head?
You know what? Most of my songs are together, like really together, like both the music and the lyrics. Although, sometimes I do have like a tune in my head. Like I wrote this one song on my first CD, and I was singing. I was on this vacation, and I was singing this tune in my head like incessantly. And as soon as I got home, because I didn't have my guitar with me, as soon as I got home, I like wrote the song, but I already had the whole like tune of it planned out, and then the words just came. But I do it both together. I mean, I always have the guitar with me when I'm writing. I go back and forth. I stop and I write the lyrics down that I'm coming up with. Then I scratch it. I play the tune. I record it and play it back. Mm-hmm. But I would say I write them simultaneously. Almost like probably 90% of the time I write them simultaneously.
You were saying how your music, you know, changes frequently as you're writing it. Does it ever change almost genre? I mean, do you go into a song thinking, you know what, I want to do something a little jazzy this time, or a little more rock, or does it just flow out of you?
No, totally, because that last song that I played, Judah, I was thinking it was kind of jazzy, you know? Mm-hmm. But then when it came out of me, I mean, I think it kind of has a little bit of that jazzy, kind of bluesy feel to it, but then it kind of sounded more, like the way it came out of me was a little more jovial, I think, than... And then I had to change the tempo. Like,
but
originally,
your initial intention is to stick with the folk roots.
Yeah, well, no, from. I don't ever have intentions to do that. That's just the kind of stuff that comes out of me.
That's cool.
Because a lot of people think that I would be more popular if I wasn't doing that. Mm-hmm. I just had a guy send me an email, a whole long email on MySpace about how I needed to go into a different genre. Like, he's like, your voice isn't you're not tapping into your true potential. You needed to sing blues and jazz and all this stuff. And that's great. If I had a band that I was working with that could play, you know what I mean? Maybe something would come out of me, but that's just not this is the music that comes out of me. This is the music that, and I'm not trying to be Britney Spears. You know what I mean?
Right. No. And that's music in its purest form.
Yeah.
It's just coming out of me. Inside.
So
yeah.
You know what? If I'm not as mainstream as I could be with my voice, cause I think the thing that people, they mean well, I think what they mean to say is, wow, your voice is pretty. You should sing more pop or something that would be more accepted by like the general masses, and maybe you'd be famous or have more money or something like that.
The general attitude I've found about all things art is that if it's worth doing, it's worth doing badly for money.
Yeah, totally. Exactly. Well, you know, exactly. That is so true.
I mean, I get that as a DJ. It's like, oh, you know, you like spinning all this acid jazz and independent rock and, you know, eclectic stuff.
Yeah.
You should do bar mitzvahs and weddings, you know?
Oh, wow.
Because then you can make some money. It's like, well, that's not what I do it for, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And so, I appreciate people's comments. I really do. Like, genuinely, I appreciate that people are coming on and listening to my music and they're having... I mean, anybody that sits down and writes me, like, a huge email about... something hooked their attention. They felt like they could like open up to me and
share
them. Yeah,
it's funny you said that. You know? Actually, there's an instant message right here on the computer from Hot Poet 30 and writing from Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, awesome!
Before we were talking about how you know, you used MySpace to get people interested in your music.
Yeah,
and she wrote it's working because you got me hooked. And 2 days ago, I lived and died for hip hop.
So,
awesome. So you've actually changed the way somebody thinks about music.
Oh, my God. I'm totally... We have to cut and paste that. I am. Hi. If I could type on the computer, I'd say hi back. Type in your name so we can say who you are. Because you're just Hot Poet. Does it come through that fast or is it...
Yeah. I mean, it wrote maybe, I don't know, 15 minutes ago.
Okay. Well, we'll wait.
But we'll type to her later.
That's awesome. So, yay. I have a new fan that's used to really like hip hop. That's great. You know?
Are you going to do a hip hop song now?
Totally, of course. And I'm going to dedicate it to this young, hot artist.
I was
going to
say, not enough gangster in
your
work.
There's certainly not enough gangster. Oh, someone wrote a comment on one of my pages that says, new genre, gangsta folk.
You never hear it.
You never hear it, I know. At least not anymore. Yeah.
Because the artist went to war with himself.
Yeah, totally.
And died.
Yeah, exactly.
Sadly. I have heard... I can't remember. Well, there are some bands that are doing a sort of synth folk now, where it's sort of a cross between folk and synth pop and electro.
Okay.
You know, sounds like Beta Band and groups like that. So, you know, it does kind of bleed into other genres, but it can't really completely leave because then you miss the whole point.
Yeah, then I miss the whole point. Well, I've had people ask me for copies of the song to do like a remix, to do like, oh, I want to do this kind of remix, which I think would be great. I told the person who wrote me that, I was like, hell yeah, I'll send you, you can remix a song. I'd love to hear what that sounds like. And actually, I would love to work on other projects too. I'm not married to what I'm doing. I mean, I'm doing it because it's natural, it's organic, it's coming out of me. I'm having fun with it. I enjoy it. But I'm always open to like new projects. So if someone were to say, oh, I have this great project I'd like for, you know, to put some vocals down, I love to sing. The music that I write is the music that I'm playing for you today.
Right.
But I love to sing, and I'll sing with good music. If you know what I mean? If it resonates with me, then I'll sing to anything. I love to sing. You know what I mean? It makes me happy. That's what gives me joy. It brings me joy.
Well, thank you. Please sing for us now.
Okay.
I'm going to put the mic in front of the guitar again. Okay. Here you go.
So this is the song that's on my MySpace page right now. But I changed the chorus up a little bit because I think it's better this way. It needed a change, and this is the change. This scene is too familiar, and I'm all about done. And then you walk in, and the night is young. I recognize you, you're that singer from the west side. I make my way to the bar. You're drinking whiskey straight, and you're taking drags off a Marlboro Light. You say, I feel like I've seen you before tonight. And I say, hey, yeah, I think we're on to something. Hey, yeah, I think we're on to something. I know I could be wrong, but I think we're on. Your voice is so smooth, it's like a mellow wine. I drink in every word, you take your time. And as we get close, I unwind. I'm aching just to know what you got going on. And I say, hey, yeah, I think we're on to something. Hey, yeah, I think we're on to something. But I think we're, it's pushing 4 a.m. and I'm out the door, but we're on to something I'll be coming back for. Hey, yeah, I think we're on to something. Hey, yeah, I think we're on to something. I know I could be wrong.
I've heard you play that song before. I heard you play that live once.
I played it unlit.
Yeah.
Except I wrote it like the night before. So
it was a much longer version, what I heard.
You know what? I cut it down. I chopped it up. I just did what I do.
Yeah, no, I like this because it's tight, it flows, you get a sense like, okay, like, you know, the song ends when the song ends. It's really clean.
Oh, thank you so much, because that's exactly what I am trying to achieve without sacrificing my artistic integrity as far as like making it a pop song or trying to make it like a, I didn't try to make it like a song that was tight, but I tightened it up because the song deserved it. I think it's, you know, I think that song moves too. I really like that song. I like playing it, you know, and I think it really resonates with me, that whole thing where, you know, you meet someone and it's grooving, you know, you might not ever hear, like half the time I never even hear from those people again, like, you know, or I never call them again. I mean, it goes on both sides of the coin. So it's like, you really think you're feeling something, but then you could be wrong, but you think, and I don't know, I just, you know, so it's like, I really am trying to take these ideas and concepts and tighten them up and tweak them a little and kind of make them like a smooth running machine, you know.
Are a lot of your songs about personal life experiences?
Yeah, actually, most of them are, actually. not so much anymore about really like relationships. I mean, that one obviously is just about, you know, you go to a party and you're like, meet this person, you're all excited, and then it just doesn't go anywhere. But
no, but that guy's listening right now and he's like, oh, that's me. Oh man, I'm such a fool.
He's like, I'm a singer from every singer in the West Side right now. All 10 of them who are listening are like, that's me. No, I mean, I used to write, my first CD is all these like songs that just like came out of me about this relationship that I was in at the time. And it's so funny because they were like, you know, really like, oh, you know, it's like not, you know, it's just, I was just obviously tormented by this relationship. Every single song is about the same person, you know, except the one song, the two songs that are about moving to LA. Mm-hmm. Like, there's two songs about moving to
get
LA.
Away from that person.
Yeah, to get away from that person. Exactly. So, but then then in my last CD, I feel like I had some different subject matter. Like, I have a song on there called Francis, which actually, let's talk about that. And then can we play it?
Yeah.
During the show?
Is it from your CD?
Yeah, it's from the CD.
Great.
But this,
is that from None More Red?
Yeah, that's from None More Red. And I really would like to say something about that song, because there are times when I'm very motivated by either a feeling that I have against something or for something, and I have to write a song about it. And I did a play about Frances Farmer in college. Frances Farmer was a film star actress during the time when they were blacklisting people who they felt were communist in Hollywood. And she was this really beautiful actress. She had a really, she was in a lot of films at the time. I mean, she was like the equivalent of Julia Roberts or someone. She was like beautiful and vibrant, and she was known to be difficult to work with, and she did, and I think her agent told her she needed to lose weight, so she started taking, you know, Bennies or whatever, that, you know, to like lose weight, and then she started drinking to like offset that, and she just spun, and then they like blacklisted her for being a communist, and they like, I mean, it was just horrible. Then nobody has to approve of this back then. Nobody had to approve of it except one of your family members, but they signed her into a mental institution just because she was like difficult to work with because they thought she was a communist.
Well, I'm an actor. I've wanted to do that with some actors, but yeah, it's still wrong.
It's still wrong. And anyway, so there's this whole, and they lobotomized her, and it's just this big tragic story.
Goodness.
But so I was really, really moved by that story. And I wrote St. Francis. There was a play that I was in college called St. Francis of Hollywood. Hmm. And while I was in that play and reading, you know, her autobiography and or not her autobiography, but reading a biography. I've since gotten her autobiography, but I was reading a biography about her and doing some research, and that just, to me, was something that was totally outside of myself. I have no experience with that personally, but that was something that really got under my skin and motivated and moved me to write a song about it.
Mm-hmm.
I obviously, when you listen to the CD, if you didn't know that before, some people who I sought critiques from for that particular song, like, didn't get it, and they're like, talk more about the relationship, about this and that. But I think that once you know the story, I crafted that song to tell that story, and I felt good about that song. That I when I finished writing it, I felt that I got exactly what I wanted to say across.
Well, great. All right. Well, then let's hear that story, and then we come back, we'll talk about where people can get that story for their own.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
Buy some of your music, and
it'd be awesome.
Maybe we'll play another song. So this is St. Francis from your None More Red album. You're listening to C. Ashley Caldwell on Is Good with John Hirschfield on killradio.org.
Silver screen. You're a pretty girl, but things are not always what they seem, and clever isn't cute anymore. Too many up in arms, too many men are keeping score, but they want you, they want you, they want you, slightly different than you are. And when they get what they want, they're gonna say, challenge all your ideas on God. choose your poison and wash it down, wash it down, wash it down, wash it down, won't you wash it down? Once that ball is rolling, they soon shall come to call, and soon you won't notice the padding.
Is good. Killradio.org. My guest is C. Ashley Caldwell, and that was St. Francis from None More Red.
Yes.
Where can people buy your music?
Well, you can buy, I would, if you go to my website, hellofromhollywood.com, if you go to the music section, that will send you to CD Baby, but CD Baby takes a large cut of the sales because they do the shipping and all that. So what I would prefer is if you go to hellofromhollywood.com, and on my front page, there is a link to my MySpace page. Mm-hmm. And on my MySpace page, you can choose the album that you want to get. Like if you want to get my last CD, that None More Red CD, which has the first song that I played in this set on it and that song, you can just hit the PayPal button, pay now, just buy it. It's like right there. It says buy the one, like it's underneath Moving to Hollywood, it says buy Moving to Hollywood, and then underneath the other one it says buy, you know. So and if you can't choose, get them both. That's what I say on my page. It's two for $20. It's pretty good, you know.
Yeah, that's
so, I mean, that's pretty.
So are you do you have other plans for distributing your music, like iTunes or
getting I'm all over None More Red and Moving to Hollywood are all over the web. I have like 44, I have digital distribution through CD Baby, so I'm on like 30 or 40 or however many they send your CD to, I'm on all of those. So nice. I'm on iTunes, I'm on like I don't even know the names of all those things, but I'm on all of those. But the new songs, when I get those done, I'll put those online as well. You'll be able to get them digitally, but you can go on iTunes and get anything that I have.
Well, cool. Yeah. Why don't you play us one more song?
Okay.
If you would be so kind.
This is the song you've been waiting for. It's the coconut song.
You're listening to C. Ashley Caldwell on Is Good, killradio.org. This interview, by the way, will be available for download either tonight or tomorrow from the killradio.org website.
Oh, I need the microphone.
Here it comes.
He looked at me like, "It's you're on." And I'm like, yeah, but...
Welcome to Kill Radio.
Welcome to Kill Radio. Oh, popcorn and matchsticks. Oh, the day is long, I am on my own, just beyond the glistening gray. I'm reminded of the sun, we all have just begun, all of the darkness falls away. Sang it.
a different song all around, as people would say. See how there is no time, a child is so sublime. Why do we always fall away? Sun just beyond the glistening gray, reflecting all the brilliance, the beauty and resilience of the day.
What's the title of that song?
Glistening Gray.
Glistening Gray.
Glistening Gray. And you know, just as a treat and a thank you to all of those who are listening on online, I'm going to throw that one up on MySpace today. So if you'd like to.
Excellent.
And I will actually provide it as a free download. So as a free download today, when I get to my computer, so don't go right away because I'm away from my computer. But later today, I will put Glistening Gray online as a free download if you'd like to go there and take it.
Excellent. So what is the future for C. Ashley Caldwell? Is it just writing, performing, everything?
Yeah, just doing what I'm doing. I mean, I've come to a place, John, really where my goal, if it can be a goal, is living in the moment. I mean, really trying to really get in the moment, live in the moment, be where I'm at, you know? I mean, that's something that I think we can all benefit from Eastern philosophy, is just being where you're at. So you know what? When you ask me what the future holds, I don't know. But you know what? I really like my life right now. I like what I'm doing. I like the music that I'm writing. I like the way that my life resonates with me. I feel like I'm being true to myself, and I will continue to strive to write better songs, to be a better person, to live a more conscious lifestyle, and to hopefully try to bring some light and happiness to, you know, myself and those around me. And if that's all I ever do in my entire life, then that is, I think, a really good life.
I agree. Ashley, yeah. Thank you so much for coming
in.
My
pleasure.
I called you Ashley. I broke through that mental barrier.
Oh my God, you had a breakthrough right here on Kill Radio. So awesome.
So what's your website one more time?
It's www.hellofromhollywood.com.
This is, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. I'm John Hirschfield. My guest has been C. Ashley Caldwell. Ashley, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
I'm going to play just a couple of tracks while DJ Messy sets up for her show. Stick around. Thanks for listening.
Driving to the riverside, I pretend to cry, even if I cried alone. I forgot the stars.
That song is hilarious. That was Suffing Stevens. I just got that at Amoeba. This is a slightly older album, Greetings from Michigan, which is funny because his last CD was all about Illinois. The guy's got some sort of weird state fetish. Before that, we heard The River by The Other Two. And I love telling the story of The Other Two. So, you know, New Order, you have Bernard Sumner, who sings badly, and he goes off and he does electronic with Johnny Marr from the Smiths. And then you have leftover, you have Peter Hook, who goes off and does Revenge and fails at it, and then does Monaco and makes really good music, but still pretty much fails at it. And then all that's left are Stephen Morris and Jillian Gilbert. I think that's her name. And they call their band The Other Two. I love it. Anyway, that song is called The River, and I like it. My guest today was C. Ashley Caldwell. She was lovely. Hope you enjoyed it. Messy is up in a minute or two. I'll be gone for Thanksgiving. I'll come back on the 1st. My guest will be Christopher Dahlman. You've been listening to Is Good with John Hirschfield on killradio.org.